Well, I tend to think of the Gosling as a poem. Critical opening phrase of this poem will always be the grip, as the hands unite to form a single unit. Slowly and slowly, the club head is led back, pulled into position not by the hands, but by the body, which turns away from the target, shifting weight to the right side without shifting balance. Tempo is everything, perfection unattainable. As the body coils now to the top of the swing, there's a slight hesitation, a little nod to the gods. Now the weight begins shifting back to the left, pulled by the powers inside the earth. It's alive, this swing, a living sculpture, and down through contact, always down, striking the ball crisply, with character. There was only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy. Well, what's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's Hardy.
All right, first one of the year. This is, I believe, the eighth year. I was doing the math the other day. If we started in 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Eighth year of the Sports Hub Golf Club finally starts. Took a while to get us here, but here it is on the 16th of May in 2020. We get a chance to do our first Sports Hub Golf Club of the season. My name is Hardy. Thank you so much for being here. And thanks to everybody who's been asking about the show and wanting to know when it was going to get back on the air. But quite frankly, there wasn't much need or cause to do the show until today. You could have made a case for last week, as golf courses and the ban on golf in Massachusetts was lifted at the end of last week. But a lot of courses seemingly that were ready to go weren't actually ready at that moment. And the way the governor had treated this with, is it going to be now? Is it going to be the next day? Is it going to be the next day? It's just like any other business. You know, you just can't say, ah, you can open, and you go there and you roll up the cage to the pro shop and you go, especially with all of the guidelines and restrictions. Let's face it, that's what they are, that were placed on the game so that people could get back out onto the golf course. First thing I want to address is there were a lot of people who were, I guess, upset at not just golfers, but the industry and people who were, quote unquote, lobbying for golf courses to open while other businesses were shut down, saying, like, you know, all these precious golfers, what do they need to be on the golf course? Nobody was making the case that they needed to be out there. No one's making the case that golf is an essential business. You don't put it in the same category as healthcare workers and emergency responders. Hell, even grocery stores. It's not the same thing. But in a time when we desperately crave some normalcy and, more to my point, consistency, I could not make a case for the other side playing devil's advocate as to why you couldn't allow people out onto a golf course to be spread out over 150 acres outside in the sunlight, which by all accounts is good when battling this coronavirus, breathing in the fresh air, getting some exercise, and yes, putting a little bit of money into the economy, especially for golf courses, which any golf course operator would tell you, not an easy business. And these guys had to maintain their businesses. It wasn't as simple as just, you know, lock up the pro shop and, you know, we'll bring everybody back once the ban on golf is lifted. The courses had to be maintained. And a lot of businesses are the same way. You know, you got to keep the lights on. You got to keep, you know, the refrigerators on. If you're restaurants, you got to do, you know, certain things just to keep your infrastructure going. But maintaining a golf course requires a lot of time and effort and money. And there are arguably a lot of expenses that are incurred by golf course operators that they were not getting anything back in terms of recoupment while they were shut down. So I'm glad that the governor lifted the ban, and I'm glad that people are able to get out there and play. But as I said, there are a lot of restrictions. So we've been over these before. I want to go over some of them again for people who maybe you're like me. You know, maybe you found out at the end of last week when everyone else did that the golf courses are going to reopen. Woohoo! When are you going to go play golf? I don't know. I for damn sure wasn't playing on Friday of last week. By the time I got around to thinking maybe I would get out and play over the weekend, it was there was no thought of me getting a tee time. And as you may know, I work every day doing something, whether it's on with Zolak and Bertrand or on satellite radio or do whatever. So it's not that easy. And I did attempt or at least thought about getting out and playing on both Wednesday and Thursday last week. And this is example number one of it's not the same as it used to be. One of my favorite things to do when I go play is to decide at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know what? I'm going to go walk 9 holes. I may not get 9 in. I'm going to go walk 6, 7 holes, how many ever I can get until it's dark out. And I'll wait until about 4 or 5 o'clock and I'll head over there. And by that point, place will pretty much be empty and I'll just hop out and I'll go. And I did it a handful of times last summer where I literally teed off just by myself 5 o'clock or shortly thereafter and walked 9 holes and got around in about an hour. That's fantastic. That's not happening right now. I we'll find out more about this in a few minutes. If you heard during the crossover, I spoke with Joe and Dan in here. We're going to have Scott Allen on from George Wright Golf Course in Hyde Park. Maybe there's an opportunity to show up at the end of the day and get out and play. Where I attempted to go play over at the Cape Club in Sharon, no. The tee time's booked foursomes all the way up until and including 6 p.m. That's it. A foursome was heading off on Wednesday or Thursday, whatever day I was going to play. They were booked on both days, 6 p.m. So the idea of just going out and playing, that's not happening. In terms of the actual guidelines for the security and safety of not only the golfers but the employees there, the face masks are a thing, not only for the employees, but a lot of courses are requiring you to wear a face mask when you show up, okay? Just if you are out driving around right now and you don't have a face mask with you, I don't know what you're thinking. You got to have one. You absolutely have to have one. And when you get out of your car in the parking lot, no one's going to look at you sideways. No one's going to give you a second look. And if they do, tell them to go screw. Put your face mask on until you're out on the golf course. That's number one. Number two, the clubhouses, the shops, the restaurants, the bag rooms, the locker rooms, still, according to the original guidelines, all have to stay closed. There are some contingencies for golf carts, for people with disabilities, for people who need them. And there are more and more bans and more guidelines that are being loosened all the time on the golf carts. For golfers of a certain age or just, you know, simply can't, you know, walk, especially the hillier courses. So the golf cart thing is getting better. But I would say right now, just to be on the safe side, if you want to go play, plan on walking. You know, it's a great opportunity to clean out your bag, get all the ballast out of there that you don't need, clean out all the crap, you know, dig out that old Sunday bag that you haven't used since the mid-90s, or find yourself a good cart, which I've had one for years, and I've only used a handful of times, but it's a decent, I believe it's a Click Gear push cart that I've used. It's a pretty enjoyable way to play. I prefer walking and carrying my clubs, but that's for 9 holes. Over the course of 18, it's a bit much. The push cart's a great option. The idea of social distancing on the golf course shouldn't be a problem, but just remember, it's still a 6-foot rule, even when you're out on the golf course, and there are rangers and there are employees that are out there to make sure you're maintaining. You should never be playing in a group of more than four anyway, but of course, the foursome rule is being strictly enforced. And the 15-minute tee time policy. Now, this is where I think I'll talk to Scotty about this in a few minutes. I think this is where you can run into some problems because we've had it pounded into our heads for years. Don't show up 15 minutes before your tee time and then run up to the clubhouse and, you know, rush around and get to the tee box. This is exactly what you're supposed to be doing now. Maybe not rushing, but get to the course in time, but you have to wait in your car until it's 15 minutes before your tee time. Then you get out, grab your stuff, walk up, and then you go. This is requiring you to pay online ahead of time. And again, I'm curious to learn how this is going in a place like George Wright, which has been there for coming up on, 90-plus years now, and guys who have been playing golf at that course for almost that long who have never gone online to pay for anything in their lives, and a lot of golfers, me included. You know, there's a lot of stuff that I do online, a lot of stuff that I take care of and never even think about the transaction. But golf, I'm still pretty old school. Like to show up in the pro shop and either hand over my credit card or cash to pay for it. That's not happening right now. So you pay ahead of time online with courses having to figure this out who haven't really done it before. Paying for tee times online is not a thing at a lot of golf courses, but they have either had to figure it out or they've had to remain closed. Flag sticks have to stay in the hole. That is something that is not being, there's no wiggle room on that. So there are different ways of holding out the ball, whether it's a raised cup, whether it's some other object in the hole, or whether it's the little slider mechanism where your ball can actually go into the hole and you can lift it up with your putter, a little handle there so it can kind of raise the whole mechanism up. But the flag stick's got to stay in. The bunker rakes removed. Ball washers either removed or covered, so you're not supposed to be touching anything with a handle or stick or anything that anyone else could be handling. And, of course, the practice green, the driving range, chipping areas, all closed. So keep those in mind if you're planning on heading out. And first and foremost, you have to go online ahead of time. And you may find out it's a little tougher to get a tee time now than it was in the past. But you're going to have to do it, because if you just show up and say, I'm here to play, the golf course employees and operators are thrilled to have you back. But they can only accommodate so many people. And with the tee time spaced out to every 15 minutes now, there is an absolute finite number of golfers they can get out onto the course, and it's a lot less. It's a lot less. I don't know the exact numbers or percentages, but again, for that, we should probably talk to a guy who is running one of the best courses in the state, certainly one of the best public courses in the state, George Wright Golf Course in Hyde Park, the head professional there, Scott Allen. We will speak with him next here on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
This is the show that helps you put it in the hole. The Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to the Sports Hub Golf Club. And as promised, we'll be speaking with Scotty Allen here, who is the head professional at George Wright Golf Course in Boston. Scott, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing well. Glad to be open.
I imagine it was the same attitude and the same feeling around there for a long time as to what's the holdup. And then when you got word you were going to be able to open, it was like, oh, crap, we don't have enough time.
Exactly. You know, you're waiting to open, you're waiting to open, and bam, you're open. It's one of those things that, you know, the boss asked me, you know, when are you ready to be open? And I'm like, hey, I could open tomorrow. And then when they said you're going to open Saturday, I'm like, what? You know, so, you know, we're doing well. We're running by the guidelines that are given us. The 15-minute tee times is slow enough that, you know, we have a starter, we have a person in the shop, and we have a person down in the parking lot. So as people pull up, most of the people have made tee times online, but when they get here, we ask them to call the shop. We finalize the sale. That part of it has worked absolutely smoothly. It's really, you know, it's actually gotten us even more organized than we were, which is something that we've always wanted to do, but people were always kind of hesitant to go ahead and commit to being registered online with the credit card and everything. And I think that part of it is going to be a home run for us.
I want to go through these kind of like one at a time, if you don't mind, Scott, just because sure. I think there's this notion that maybe you're thinking I'm the only guy who hasn't played, or for people who aren't golfers, oh, finally, all the golfers have had a chance to play in the last week. With the 15-minute tee times and with the fact that not everybody opened right away, I haven't played. I know a lot of people haven't, and it's tough to get a tee time right now. So that's, you know, first things.
Absolutely.
Yeah, first things first, I know George Wright, from having played there for many years now, you know, but people are creatures of habit. And for me, it was like, man, I just kind of knew when I'd be able to get out there. So I never made a tee time. It, you know, in the last couple of years, you had to, because the course has been in such great shape and has gotten such, you know, attention that it was tough to get on without one. But I was just accustomed to kind of rolling over there. I know that on Tuesdays after 4 o'clock, I should be able to get out and walk 9 holes. That's not the case anymore. So number one, are people required to make a tee time ahead of time, first of all?
Yes. So, you know, like you say, we have many customers that are used to doing the old trend of just being able to show up and be able to, for us to accommodate them and get you on the golf course. And usually first thing in the morning, last thing in the evening, that's the two things that we still can do, because it's, you know, once you get past the 6 o'clock date in the evening, you know, the people that like to come out and walk a few holes, we're still able to do that. But the regular guy during the day, we require everybody to either go online and make a tee time, or call the golf shop and make a tee time. The thing that's hard now is for the single guy that, you know, that doesn't have a tee time. But, you know, we're doing our best to accommodate them. And like you say, with the 15-minute intervals, we're only working at close part of the, probably, I don't know about the math, but it's probably close to 60% of capacity. So there are a lot of people that, you know, when the tee sheet opens up on Monday morning for Saturday, the pass holders are the first ones to get the advantage to get those tee times. And then the next day, the general public. Well, by the time we get to Tuesday, and this is a case I'm finding out through, I was just talking with Dana from Presidents. A lot of the golf courses are going to members only or pass holders only. Well, we're not going to do that, but we're going to try to take advantage of, you know, we're going to try to accommodate as many people as we can under the guidelines that we have. We're hoping that those guidelines are going to be reduced coming up on the 18th, but we don't know. We just have to do what we can do with what we got.
Yeah, I don't know what the tee sheet normally is for you guys, whether you're 8 minutes, 9 minutes, whatever it is. But with, you know, being relegated to every 15, a busy day for you, you might put a few hundred golfers on the course, and now you're able to do, like you said, what, maybe 60% of that?
Yeah. And, you know, April was absolutely horrible. If we would have been open April 1st, 90% of the golfers wouldn't have played what they normally play anyhow. There probably wasn't 10 great days or 10 days you could play in April to begin with. So April isn't that great of a time. And if we look at our records in the past, you know, the rounds of golf here are played between the holidays, between Memorial Day and Labor Day. And so, you know, from that thing, I believe that we're going to be fine. We're going to catch up to where we need to be. The golf course is in fantastic condition. It's just crazy how good it is right now. We have we have some small issues. We have some water issues that we're working on right now. We got a brand new water pump going in. That's getting squared away, and Mother Nature has been good to us. So that part of it was good.
Well, the only time I played this year, Scott, and the last time and the only time, was back in March when things were getting weird, but the courses were still open. And the first thing that happened is I walked in the pro shop and I saw Joe Leary sitting there. I'm like, holy crap, Joe. I didn't expect to see you here.
Yeah.
And number two, a buddy and I walked the back nine that day. No flag sticks were in already. You know, there are already some provisions in place. But the conditions out there were just fantastic. And that was almost 2 months ago. So I can only imagine what it's like out there now.
Yeah, with no golfers and them being able to maintain the golf course basically for 3 to 4 weeks. You know, the fairways are just spectacular. Now the grass is finally starting to grow. I mean, the greens just hadn't wanted to grow, just because the temperature just hadn't been warm enough. But now, you know, they're finally starting to pop, and you know, they really haven't turned to that dark green that you're used to yet. So we're hoping that happens soon.
All right, Scott Allen is the head professional, George Wright Golf Course in Hyde Park. So, Scott, we touched on a little bit at the beginning. Tee times are being made online. Is it necessary at your course for people to also pay online? You mentioned something about being able to do a transaction there at the golf course.
Yeah, we're asking everybody that, well, if they haven't paid online, when they get to the golf course, our starter approaches them, tells them they need to call the golf shop and tell them they're here for their tee time. And if they don't have a credit card on file, then we're just taking the credit card from there and ringing it from there. There's no interaction. The clubhouse is still closed. There's no interaction with the pro shop staff inside the building. So everything's either done online or on the phone.
Okay. And then how do you regulate people not going up to the first tee until it's 15 minutes before their tee time? Is there someone stationed out there who says?
Yeah, we basically have like a parking lot attendant or security, whatever you want to call them, sitting down there. And so as soon as you pull in, they approach you. What's your tee time? Okay, you need to call the golf shop and check in. And with the 15-minute intervals, there's plenty of time to get that done by the time you get to the tee. So basically, you're just going from your car to the tee. The starter calls you up when he's ready. It's when the guy's on the tee, the next group, we have kind of like the bullpen. We pull you up and put you right at the back of the building, and then the next group waits down at the parking lot. We've gotten most of our play that, you know, our morning play on weekends, those guys used to just all show up here and pick their game and stuff. So now they're all online. Everything's tee times with them. It's just really organized now.
Yeah.
Not that it ever was, but that's just what the old system used to be at every golf course.
Yeah. And when you kind of, you know, look on the bright side, which might be a little early for that, but, you know, some of the things that are in place now, and if you get people used to doing things like this, it can make for a smoother experience when you do get to the golf course. I imagine right. There have been some hiccups and some people not doing everything that they're supposed to. So what is it that people still don't seem to get that you've seen out on the golf course? What are people doing wrong?
You know, people are creatures of habit. They get here and they just literally when they get to the parking lot, they literally, you know, some people are such creatures of habit, they just forget what's going on. So you just have to remind them, put your mask on, you know, wear your mask out to the golf course. When you're anywhere within anybody near 6 feet, make sure you have it on. You know, nobody expects that golfer to have it on the whole round. You're going to be, when you're not near somebody and you're taking a breath, that make sure you know, when you're getting near the green or getting near the tee, you're going to want to have it on. And making sure that when they do pull in, that they're not socializing in the parking lot. And we're asking people to stay in the car until we're ready. And then when they're finished, that's the tricky part, because that's where everybody is used to socializing after the round of golf. So we're very diligent about making sure that, guys, when you go to the parking lot, we love you. We can't wait to be with you and hang with you and talk with you, but get in your car and go home.
Especially on that big, beautiful patio that you built back there a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone just wants to hang, but you can't do it. Okay. Any local rules in place? Again, this is Scott Allen over at George Wright. You know, because no bunker rakes, right? So it inevitably, when I'm in a bunker three or four times throughout the course of nine holes, and I'm in a huge footprint, and just play it as it lies, what are you guys telling people?
Well, it's kind of like lift clean in place now. So, you know, they're allowing for the rules of this, you know, the golf, the USGA, and they're been wise enough to accommodate this to the pandemic, to be able to post course. You can, you know, clean in place. And the maintenance crew is going out before the round every day. They're raking the bunkers and cleaning them up. So the bunkers really are in pretty good shape.
Yeah. Raised cups, is that what you guys are doing at George Wright? Do you just have the cup liners out of the hole?
No, we have the cup liner in the hole, but I have the noodles cut and put in the hole so that the ball doesn't go into the hole. Nobody can touch a flag. Nobody touches the cup liner. They can still grab their ball without having the cup upraised above. We haven't had any problem with people touching the flag or touching the cups or anything, so it's been very successful.
And it's such a minor concession to make to be able to get out there and play again. I can't imagine that people would have a problem with it.
No, I tell you, the golfers have been great. They have been to every single one of them. I can't tell you one person that hasn't been grateful or hasn't followed the rules, or they're very thankful to be here and to be out there. And when we are on them about their mask and the little things, some of the guys, it's a pain. I said, I know it's a pain. I said, believe me, it's a pain for me to be out here trying to tell you to do it all the time.
Yeah.
I said, this is the last thing I want to be doing is telling you to put your mask on or telling you to get in your car and leave. Believe me, that hurts me to do that. But everybody's been great about it. The city has been totally behind us, Mayor Walsh and Ryan Woods, the park commissioner. They've been totally with us and helping us do what we need, getting us what we need as far as for our stuff to from sanitizers and all that. And so the whole city has been behind it.
All right. And finally, Scott, you mentioned carts early on. I know some provisions have been made. For me, I like walking. I like carrying my clubs, so it hasn't been an issue. But for some people, they can't or won't play without a cart. So what's the latest on that?
Well, right now, they've opened it up for handicap carts, which it's awesome, because that first day was really tough because, there were a lot of people that didn't want to play, that came up that wanted to play, and our only answer was, I don't have an option. I mean, that's just what the mandate was at the time. And then they have since opened that up to where it is handicap carts, and eventually it's going to be where they're going to open up so everybody will be able to take a cart. Now, that being said, it's going to be one person in a cart, and at our golf course it's going to be ours in Franklin Park, the city golf courses, it's going to be no more than two carts per group. Just the fact that, we're going to run out of golf carts if we don't do that. Now, like everything else, you're going to have your exceptions. If I got four 90-year-old guys, which I do, then we're going to take care of them,
Right.
Everybody's going to get the best customer service we can get them without trying to upset their day or change their day too much.
All right. Scott Allen, head pro over at George Wright. Been on the show a lot, Scott, and I, but never under these circumstances. So I appreciate you taking the time, and I'm sure I'll be seeing you soon. And, thanks for being there. Thanks for, going through with all the stuff that you guys have to do right now so people can get out there and play and do their thing. It's much appreciated.
I appreciate the phone call. Appreciate the opportunity to talk, and to all the golfers out there. And it's great to have you back, and be patient with all your golf pros and your golf courses. It's going to take some time, but it'll get back to fairly normal. I think, like you say, the new normal is going to be a little different, but there will be some good things come out of it. And I think we'll all be fine.
Scott, thanks again. It was good talking to you.
Thank you.
Constantly hitting it from the rough. This is the show for you. The Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, first Sports Hub Golf Club of the season. It's Hardy here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Tom Tucker Silva producing here this morning. Did you have a bee in your bonnet about something earlier today, Tucker?
A bee in my bonnet?
Yeah, you had something stuck in your craw that Murray and Lifshad were bothered by?
So Murray was talking about my appearance on his podcast on the side, where he was fed up with all the golfers' outrage to open the courses. So I let him have it on his podcast.
Wait a sec. Joe Murray,
yeah.
He was fed up with the golfers wanting the golf courses to be open.
So Joe Murray's ultimate point was he didn't understand why golfers were complaining because the government issued the rule of golf courses being closed. I said, why can't you understand that frustration and outrage, I guess, from golfers?
Right. And believe me, I get it. If you just open the golf course, first thing that's going to happen is people are just going to show up, and they're going to mingle around the clubhouse, and they're going to go into the pro shop, and they're going to do all this stuff, and you're going to have hundreds of people there. But the fact is, with 15-minute tee times, you are virtually guaranteeing that there's going to be one group per hole.
Right.
That's four guys on a hole times 18.
Yep.
That's 72 people on the golf course. Average golf course size, 150 acres. Now, they're not spread out perfectly as you would, you know, with it, but you still have only 72 people in a space that can accommodate hundreds of thousands. It is far less crowded, far less risk being incurred than a lot of other activities that are, I fully submit, essential. Golf, not essential, but it's safe. And it's safe, especially with the guidelines that they put down here. So, all right, I'm glad you two could resolve your differences.
It wasn't real resolved, but that's okay. Whatever.
Okay, he'll be all right.
Yeah.
This is what I want to get into. And please, you call me right now if you can explain to me this one thing about this TaylorMade match, which is taking place tomorrow. And I will give you the phone number. It's 617-779-0985. This is a skins match that's taking place tomorrow, and I'll give you all the details in a moment. But I have one question about this that I cannot wrap my head around. The match taking place, this is not the match. The match with Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, that takes place a week from tomorrow. And let's face it, that's the one that everybody wants to watch. Golfers will be watching this tomorrow, and a lot of other eyes will be on it just to watch something. But the big one most people are looking forward to is a week from tomorrow. Tomorrow's match, you know, great, great cause. This is, you know, another COVID-19 relief effort, and it's being put on by TaylorMade, and you've got TaylorMade players participating in it. But it is it's a skins match, okay? And if you're not familiar, this goes back to most people's introduction to the skins game happened decades ago, when they would take four luminaries from the world of golf, you know, Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, Lee Trevino, Chichi Rodriguez. They'd get these guys together in the fall, and they would do a skins tournament where money would be put up on each hole, and generally the money increases on these televised events, and whoever wins the hole takes the skin, right? And in most skins games, and, you know, friendly games that you and I might go play, we might play, you know, $1, $5, whatever, $10 skins among a group of people. And the amount doesn't increase because it's too much math and you don't want it to get too unfriendly. But the way this works and the way it's going to work tomorrow is two tie, all tie. So if Tucker and I and two other guys are out there playing a skins match. First hole. Tucker and I both make par. The other two guys both make double bogey. Well, the dollar that we put up in that hole carries on to the next hole, and the second hole is now worth $2. Two tie, all tie. Where this starts to get a little convoluted is the fact that they're doing teams. So it's not just going to be four guys playing cutthroat, trying to win skins. And this is why the skins game was kind of fun, because if somebody was in the hole with par and then someone else makes birdie, then the guy who just made par is now rooting for one of the other two guys to make their birdie putts. So there's a carryover. They don't want to lose the hole. So you have changing alliances and allegiances, and it's there's a lot of backstabbing, there's a lot of rooting for one guy on one hole and then trying to beat him on the next hole, and it's fun. And if you've got some personalities with these guys, it becomes very compelling. And I don't want to say they've screwed it up. I'm glad they're doing it. I'm happy to have it, but why do teams? And this is what they're doing. They're doing teams. So it's Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy on one team versus Ricky Fowler and Matt Wolf on another team.
Seems fair.
Well, it's a little closer than you might think. I'll get to that in a moment. But why do teams? Why not just have these guys go out there and play cutthroat and try and beat each other? And when, you know, since it's a two-tie, all-tie, then you start rooting for one guy to tie the hole if you're out of the hole. That's kind of what makes skins a fun game to play. And it's part of the reason why I'm pissed off that they're not doing next weekend's tournament in a similar format. My suggestion for the Tiger, Phil, Tom, Peyton match was to have three different teams. You start the, you play the first six holes with Tiger and Tom versus Phil and Peyton. And you play a six-hole match. All right? It, and if it's closed out after four holes, whatever. You just jump over to number seven. You start. But then for the middle six holes, you change the teams up. Now it's going to be Tiger and Peyton, and it's going to be Phil and Tom, and you play six that. And then for the last six holes, Tiger and Phil on one team, and Tom and Peyton on another team, and they both get a stroke on each hole. Or two strokes. I don't know. Figure it out. You've got your handicaps. You know what's what. Figure it out. I've played this format with friends of mine. It is phenomenal. It's so much fun, and you, the guy you were trying to beat, you know, on the last hole, now it's a new team, and now you have to, you know, change things over. But all right, whatever. This is the part that really confuses me. Again, it's a skins game, all right? And right off the bat, and I'll get here. Let me give you all the details on it. It's taking place tomorrow. It's going to be on at 2 p.m. Eastern time on NBC. You'll also be able to watch it on the Golf Channel and NBC Sports Network, Sky Sports. You can stream it for free on PGA Tour Live, Golf TV, GolfChannel.com, Golf Pass. So it's going to be on a bunch of different places tomorrow, Sunday, 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. Okay. And it's going to be virtual. And anybody calling this thing is going to be somewhere else. Mike Tirico is going to do the commentary. He's going to be at home. Paul Azinger and Rich Lerner are going to be offsite at some other production place. Okay. The players will be mic'd up, but there will be no spectators. Skins, how much are they playing for? Well, I'm glad you asked. $3 million is what's on the line. And an additional $1 million being donated by Farmers Insurance. It's United Health Group is putting up the $3 million. Farmers Insurance is putting up another $1 million for a birdie and an eagle pool. Okay, that's great. It's best ball skins. So each team, whoever has the lowest score will win the skin. All right, I don't love team skins play, but that's fine. Each team begins the match with $500,000. Huh? What? Each team begins the match with $500,000. For what? Oh, are they pulling out of that pool? Do you have to pay the other guy with your own money? No, you do not. Again, there's $3 million being put up. The remaining $2 million will be up for grabs during the competition. What happens with the $500,000? Why give them $500,000 if aren't they just donating it all to charity at the end of this?
Just start at zero so everybody can follow.
What are you doing? The first six holes are $50,000 each. Okay, that's $300,000. Holes 7 through 16 will be worth $100,000. Okay, 7 through 6, that's 10 more holes. That's $1 million. The 17th hole is worth $200,000. Okay, now we're up to 1.5. And the 18th is worth $500,000. That's $2 million. Where's the other million? Oh, each team started with $500,000 in their bank. What the? What, so they can gain interest over the course of the four holes and donate that to charity too? What the hell is a bank? What do you need a bank for when you're playing skins when all the money is being put up by a sponsor? It doesn't make any damn sense. Why do they have to take simple concepts like a skins game and screw it up and make it more complicated? Why are you doing this? What, can we just watch something? Can we just watch something without being confused by it? All right, there's going to be additional money awarded for birdies and eagles. That's the Farmers Insurance thing. $25,000 for a birdie, $50,000 for an eagle. You're not allowed to concede birdies and eagles, which what team would concede a birdie or an eagle throughout the course of a match anyway? I don't know. That's just pretty basic, you know, competitive nature there. But my God, And again, nobody has an explanation for this. If you do, I would love to hear from you. 617-779-0985. Otherwise, it's ponderous, as Casey Kasem once said. So let's do this. When we return, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about the one guy in this group that you may not know. Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy are the favorites, as well they should be, by every metric, by every measure. They are seemingly in better position to hit the ball better and to win more holes, maybe not so much in putting. That's where Ricky Fowler and his fellow Oklahoma State alum, Matt Wolf, may have an advantage putting. But this Matt Wolf guy, what do we know about him? Not much, as he's only 21 years old, but I'll tell you a little bit more about him. I will tell you some other guidelines going on in other states around New England in case you're going to play outside of Massachusetts or you're thinking about it. Can you? Should you? What are their rules? A lot to get to here in the final few minutes. So quick break, come back, take your phone calls, and then we'll wrap things up here on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
If you want to play below par, keep listening. This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, that's pretty misleading. You want to play below par? Keep No. I mean, maybe on a hole or two, course of 18, but what? You're going to go below scratch. You're going to your index is going to be about plus two when listening to this show. Let's manage our expectations here. So Sports Hub Golf Club, first show of the season here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Adam Milton has as an answer for this TaylorMade Skins tournament going on tomorrow. Each team, the Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy team, is going to start with $500,000 in their bank. And the same goes for the Ricky Fowler, Matt Wolf team. What the hell is this all about, Ed?
Well, the idea is that, you know, they're going to be mic'd up. So you want to hear sort of the, you know, sort of jabbing of each other. And it's going to be placing side bets. Like all of a sudden it's going to be a 15-foot putt. And it's going to be like, I bet you 20 grand you miss. Or it's going to be, you know, a bunker shot. Bet you can't put it within 10 feet. You know, I'll bet you 15. He's just like, I make it, you give me 25. You know, that's, you know, 25,000, you know, not like us.
Do you know this for a fact, or is that what you're guessing?
That's what I'm guessing.
Okay. It's just,
because you're right. It makes no other sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make any damn sense. I mean, what you play skins, you start with the bank only when you are paying out the skins at the end of the match, and these guys aren't paying it out of their own pocket. There's sponsors for that. So, all right, I guess that would make sense.
Because you got to fill time. You know, all of a sudden, what, you're going to just sort of film them as they're walking? You know, just sort of like, let's listen to what the conversation's going to be. Didn't Tiger and Phil do that during theirs?
Oh, God.
Didn't they have sort of side bets? Like,
I am not, Ed, I am not here to crap on anything. I really am not. Anybody who is doing something right now in terms of sports entertainment, God bless you. Thank you for doing it. And that includes, you know, any of us here, because, you know, we are left with, you know, very little to talk about in the way of sports. Having said that, Ed, thanks for your call. That Tiger Woods Phil Mickelson match was torturous, because here's the dirty little secret. If you're going to have a match that is dependent on the personalities of the two people involved with the match to be the main source of your entertainment, those guys better have good personalities. And I don't think it's unkind to say that neither Tiger nor Phil are known as having the best personalities of all the guys on tour. And I say it's going to depend on your personalities if the golf isn't outstanding. The golf was not outstanding. So these two guys walking down the fairway two Thanksgivings ago, chumming it up and trying to bust each other's ball, it didn't happen. It just kind of fell flat. It just wasn't there. Now, what's tomorrow going to be like with Dustin Johnson? I love Dustin Johnson because he seems he's a fun player to watch, and I root for him. I just think he's, you know, a bit of a colorful character, using the very, very low bar of characters on the PGA Tour. But in terms of a speaker, in terms of a guy who talks, That I don't know. Ricky Fowler, same way, you know? I root for that guy. I want him to win his first major this year. I want it to happen soon for him. Personality-wise, I don't know. Rory, I've spoken with both of them over the years, either at the Deutsche Bank or at the Dell Technologies, and interviewed both Ricky Fowler and Rory McIlroy. And Rory is just a kind guy. He really is. And he's affable, and he's fun to talk to. So Rory will be good. Matt Wolf, I don't know from. More on Matt Wolf in a moment here. By the way, we were supposed to finish 3 minutes ago, but I'm not stopping. Well, there's I don't have to get out of the way for anybody for a while, right, Tucker?
10 a.m.
Oh, we just keep going then.
I don't care. It's better than the other crap.
We have good programming coming up leading up to the, we got Gasper and Murray this morning, right?
Yes.
At 10? Okay.
A great show.
It is a great show. And we have great programming all day, every day here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. But whatever is supposed to fill the time between me and Gasper and Murray, is it better than the Sports Hub Golf Club?
No.
No. So we'll keep doing this for a while. Brian in Plymouth, what do you got for us, Brian?
Oh, hey, how you doing? Love the show.
Thank you.
The reason why I was following is with the pro that was on earlier, I was just listening to it. I played at a course just yesterday down in Kingston. It's a private course. I'm not a member.
I'm sorry. What course did you say you played at, Brian?
Indian Pond in Kingston. Indian Pond Country Club.
I know it very well, yes.
It's a great course. Probably one of the nicest on the South Shore.
Yep.
But we were able to play yesterday. We showed up. I don't know if the member had called earlier, like everything that you had said, but we got right on. We all got our own golf carts. We just had to put up a handicap thing on it. Beverage cart was out. We were able to drink Miller Lights all day. We had probably a couple too many, but I don't know if it's private, if it's different than a public course like George Wright.
Well, there are absolutely different stipulations, Brian, and thanks for that. I know that if you have a restaurant on site, you can do certain takeout things, you can sell beverages, and this isn't going against any edicts or guidelines. I mean, you can walk into Walgreens and, buy yourself a soda right now. You can walk into places and, buy beers. So, yes, places that sell, as long as they're following the guidelines from the state, there are some things that you're able to sell. Now, can you go into the clubhouse and sit down and have a meal? No, right? If you have handicap credentials, as it sounded like you did, yes, there are other courses that are allowing carts. And by the way, this changes drastically from state to state. For instance, in Connecticut right now, you can take a cart. Anybody can take a cart. It's one player per cart, but their tee times are not 15 minutes; they're every 10 minutes. And if you want all these guidelines, let me direct you to Mass Golf. It's a great resource. They've got a quick and easy downloadable image that you can have right there on your phone for the Massachusetts guidelines and other stuff. But Mass Golf is a great resource here for finding out what's going on. In Maine, same thing, one player per cart. They're doing 12-minute tee times in Maine. And this was as of this morning. I double-checked on that. And if you're in Maine and you're operating a golf course there, maybe my friends up there at the Outlook can correct me on any of this. But you must be a Maine resident. The residency requirements right now in Connecticut, there are none. You can show up in Connecticut and play. Maine, you must be a Maine resident. Massachusetts, we've been over these, available for players with a disability or medical needs. And whether you need to have the actual handicap sticker, or there are some guys who just, for whatever reason, can't walk the 18, you got to go with one player per cart. And this is what I would say. There are guys who want to play right now who literally can't go out there and walk a full 18 holes, all right? If you just want to take a cart because you're lazy and you like to ride a cart when you're playing, don't take a cart. Go out there and walk. If you haven't walked and played golf in a long time, and I know guys who won't play unless they can ride, if you haven't walked and played in a while, just give it a shot. Don't skirt the rules just so you can take a cart and kick back and drink a bunch of beers and do it as you normally. This is a look at it as an opportunity. And I'm not trying to be, hardy with the rose-colored glasses here, but as we're all trying to take something positive out of this, if you want to go play and you haven't walked nine and either carried your clubs or used push cart in a while, go out and do that. And tell me you don't get something out of it. It is a much different way of getting around the golf course. And quite frankly, when you can't be pushing up on people and you don't want to have multiple groups congregating at tee boxes, if you do get to a bottleneck par three out there on some course, take your time. Especially here in Mass, you got 15 minutes in between. I like to play fast, but you've got a little breathing room now. Get out there and walk. Don't take a cart just because you found a loophole and you can figure out a way to do it, because A, there's going to be somebody who needs it way more than you, and B, you might actually enjoy the experience of walking and playing golf. Try that one out. In New Hampshire, one player per cart, 12-minute tee times. You have to be a New Hampshire resident or a member of a New Hampshire club. And a lot of people live in Massachusetts who are members of country clubs in New Hampshire. You know, if you live in Boston, but you're a member at Atkinson, then you can play there. Do we need to go with New York? All right, I suppose we should. Carts are available for disabilities, medical needs. There's no residency restrictions. I don't know what the tee time intervals are in New York. I don't know that there is a statewide edict on that. Rhode Island, it is a 15-minute tee time. Same thing with the golf carts, disability or medical needs, and you do have to be a Rhode Island resident. So Rhode Island, very much like Massachusetts, in their 15-minute tee times and carts only if you have the disability or the medical need. In Vermont, one player per cart, 15-minute tee times, and you must be a Vermont resident. There we go. Let's get to Bill in Abington here. Bill, you're on the Sports Hub Golf Club. What's going on?
Hey, Hardy. How you doing, man? Love the show.
Thank you.
Hey, I was thinking about that each team starting off with $500,000.
Yes.
The only thing that makes sense to me is that it might be that if one team gets absolutely skunked and doesn't earn anything, both teams are still donating to the charity.
I was thinking about that too. Like, and again, this is supposed to be like a feel good thing, and they don't want, you know, one team necessarily to be closed out. And that was one thing. Watching the old Skins game, like, you know, it kind of felt bad maybe at the end. It's like, oh, look at poor so-and-so. And I don't remember a specific instance when somebody did get closed out or only ended up with $10,000 at the end. But let's say it was Chi-Chi. Chi-Chi went out there and got smoked by Nicholas and Lee Trevino and Freddie Couples. And you're like, oh, that sucks. You know, yeah, you don't want that to happen. And you especially don't want it to happen when all the money is going to charity.
Exactly. I grew up in the Palm Springs area, and, you know, every Thanksgiving weekend was a Skins game. We'd go down and watch it at PJ West or wherever they were holding it that year. And, you know, exactly.
Did you get a chance to, you said go down and watch it. You actually went to the course and walked around and watched the guys play?
Yes.
Oh, that, you see, now this is something that I wish I would have had a chance to do, because I only got to see Lee Trevino live on a golf course a couple of times. Once was at the old Bank of America Championship out in Concord at Neshawtuck Country Club. But I'd done an interview with Lee Trevino on WBCN. This predates the Sports Hub by, I don't know, several years. But he was great. I mean, and he may have been a little different in private. I think if you encounter Lee Trevino, even to this day at a restaurant, he may not be as gregarious. But out on the golf course, he was fantastic. I mean, just jawing with the gallery and talking with people, and he was so much fun to watch. Did you get a chance to see him at any of those Skins games?
Didn't see him. Saw Chi-Chi a couple times. We used to, anytime Freddie Couples was around, we always followed Freddie, always watched him. Tom Watson, you know, guys like that. Some of the guys from the mid to late 80s.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, well, Bill, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. And hopefully the personalities of these guys will carry a good amount of the broadcast tomorrow, because if the golf is a little bit lacking, if nobody is really tearing it up or there aren't any exciting, you know, changeovers from hole to hole, it's going to have to be carried by their personalities, which we saw what can happen when it was just Tiger and Phil. Didn't quite get the job done. Next weekend, they'll have Peyton and Brady there. At least it'll be something different, and there exists the opportunity. All right, there's two more guys out there. Maybe it'll be more fun. We'll see. JP in North Providence. What's going on, JP?
Hardy, of course you got to talk golf. I'm sick of listening about Jordan's basketball movie, yeah. I'd rather see a movie about Chamberlain. That would be an awesome miniseries. Your old partner's got the best social distancing line of anything for sports or for life or for anything. Troop, stay way back, way back.
Oh, there you go. And
so I get a question, though. Is David Faraday the announcer tomorrow? Wouldn't that be awesome to have him there? I'd listen just for him.
Faraday would be fantastic. No, it's Mike Tirico is going to be the lead guy. Oh. And the and again, they're having to do this remotely.
Right.
So, you know, the Paul Azinger is one of the other analysts, and they're
right.
going to have other guys chiming in. I don't know what they're going to do for Tiger and Phil and Tom and Peyton next weekend.
Yep.
If you'll remember, like, Barkley was involved last year. Barkley
right.
was one of the highlights of the broadcast a couple
of
Thanksgivings ago because he said, you know, at some point when they were about 12 holes in, it's like, he said, these guys suck. They're not playing. So, these guys aren't any good. And it's coming from Barkley, worst golfer on the planet.
So I got a quick local golf question, but you know what would be cool if this works? Why not have John Smoltz and Jordan out there with Barkley announcing? Because those guys that drop $100,000, $50,000, they're known for doing it on a hole, on anything, and that would be awesome. So my local question, I asked the producer there, I was listening before, what happens, are they asking what your handicap was before all this? Because what do you do if you get a guy like me? The only thing I could do now is play a miniature golf course and put a pitching wedge off my shed, off the garage, under the car like I'm playing miniature golf because I haven't been on a course. And you're getting out there taking 5-6 hours. Are they grouping it for how long they'll give you to play? You know, like restaurants give you an hour and then boom, the mannequins come out. Like, are they doing anything like that?
I don't, you know, it's a good question because right now it is probably more important than ever for guys to maintain some pace of play. If you're going to limit the number of golfers, and maybe you heard Scott Allen from George Wright on, he was on about an hour ago.
A little bit, yeah, I was listening. He's got it together, by the way.
Oh, yeah, Scotty's great. And I've known Scotty for years and he's been on the show a lot. But, you know, they're at about 60% right now. Now of what they would normally do. You know, you figure
right.
some of these courses, they're sending foursomes off every 7 or 8 minutes, you know, during this time of year when the weather turns nice. Well, they're essentially cutting that in half right now. And if somebody goes out there and gums up the works and makes it so guys can't tee off on time, that's a problem. Are courses doing anything about it, JP? And thanks for the call, buddy. I appreciate it. I don't know that they're doing anything specifically to make sure the pace of play is being maintained. I would guess this, though. With the number of restrictions and the number of things that you have to do to get out and play golf right now, it's probably attracting the people who are not going out like you sometimes encounter at a public golf course especially, where you show up and you want to get a quick 9 holes in. And this has happened to me before.
There's no walk-ups.
Well, number one, there's no walk-ups. And number two, you know, this has happened to me at Franklin Park before, right? I go over there, I'm going to get a quick 9 holes in. Yeah, great course. As somebody described it once, it is the hardest, short, wide-open course you'll ever play. Franklin Park, that's not all that long. It's not all that treacherous in terms of narrowness. And for some reason, it still will eat your lunch. But I one time I showed Franklin Park and I got grouped with two guys. I'm like, great, you know, let's go out and play. And one of them literally was like, that's my first time. I'm like, oh, first time at Franklin Park. Like, no, first time golfing. I'm like, oh. And he was literally like, got up that day and said, what should I do today? Go bowling, go to the beach. Let's try golf. I said, driving range? Nope. Oh boy. It was fine. You know, we got around, but I don't think you're going to get too many of people trying golf. Let's go try golf for the first time today during these times. Because there's too many hoops you got to jump through with the online tee times and the restrictions. And let's face it, it's intimidating. Doing anything for the first time, I don't care if you're skiing, scuba diving, hell, bowling, darts, playing pool. If you've never done it before, there's an intimidation factor of going in and not knowing what to do. How do you do this? What do you do? And especially now, there are all these other rules in place. So, JP, if if you're worried about it, either for yourself or someone else, as long as you know what you're doing and you know well enough to, if you're laying six and you're not on the green yet, pick it up. You put the ball in your pocket. Go up there and you can't tend the pin, but you can go up there and keep your distance between the people you're playing with and either cheer them on or give them a hard time or do whatever. Hell, that's what I do at least a couple of times around. I'm in my pocket, and keeping the game moving. All right. That is going to do it for this extended edition of the Sports Hub Golf Club. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to thank my guest earlier on in the show, Scott Allen from George Wright Golf Course, who, along with the other courses in Massachusetts, are open for the most part. Not everybody. Still a couple of hiccups out there with the online payment and how to get that worked out. But hopefully those courses will be able to work things out soon. And for the rest of us, if you get a chance to get out there, be safe, have fun. Next weekend, be back once again Saturday morning, 8 a.m. Be recapping tomorrow's TaylorMade Skins Tournament. And, of course, be previewing the big Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady match that will be taking place a week from tomorrow. Tom Tucker Silva, thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. Thanks once again for listening to Sports Hub Golf Club.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.